59. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Seattle Theater Group, presenting astrophysicist Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, September 19th and 20th at the Keller Auditorium. Dr. Tyson will explore science as portrayed in pop culture, and tickets and information for his September 20th show are available at portland5.com. Up next, Teresa Mitchell and Press Watch.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Hi, this is John Schuck, host of a new program, The Beloved Community, Insights for Activism. I will be speaking with Sarah Jaffe, author of Necessary Trouble, Americans in Revolt. From Occupy Wall Street to Black Lives Matter, Sarah Jaffe writes about the intersections of activism since the crash of 2008. With a donation to KABU, you could receive a copy of her book, Necessary Trouble, that Truth Out called one of the most essential books of the year. Let's build the beloved community. Friday morning at 9 on KBOO.
KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, whether the music's playing or not. .901 in Cascadia. September 11th is coming up again now, isn't it? Just a few days, and the pitiful brainwashing of an entire generation forced to maintain their beliefs versus Newtonian physics and ordinary metallurgical constants. If we are so solicitous of the pain of the survivors of the explosions downtown, and we should be, shouldn't we? Why don't we put Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Wolfowitz on trial along with Dumya Bush? That's what you do. If you want closure, right? That word. One of the most salient features of a cult is the way in which its members are led to believe more and more outrageous things. Paradoxically, it works to keep people in the cult because people begin to sense that they are trying hard to believe outrageous things, and they realize that any deviance from the lies becomes perilous because they become very close to the cult. They begin to identify with the cult. Their everyday relations are within the cult, and so they're suffering this unbearable cognitive dissonance. You know, if they just sit on the roof, Jesus will come. You know, just any of those beliefs, pick one. But to counter that would be to risk expulsion from the cult and the associated social alienation that can lead to economic alienation, too. You better believe it. It can lead to homelessness, depending on where you live. Well, the USA Today is a cult, isn't it? Because one is required to believe outrageous things, clearly false things. I'm mentioning 9/11, but there's plenty of other nonsense that you're supposed to believe. You're supposed to believe that well, this is a democracy, and the people rule. And you're supposed to believe that that business in Syria, well, that's the Russians' fault. And that business in Yemen, you probably don't. A lot of people just don't even think about that or know about it. But we're supposed to believe that that's between the Saudis and the Yemeni. And maybe you've heard that there's some U.S. weapons involved, but yeah, it's a cult. You believe these stupid things. You're supposed to believe that Russia is coming for your mama. And so you swear allegiance in the chant, and you worship a piece of colored cloth as if it were a deity. And anyone who varies from that, who moves away from worshiping the flapping colored cloth, well, just ready to tear them to pieces, aren't you? Or not. That's generally not true of the KBOO audience. Hello, KBOO audience. I'm honored to speak to you again, and I would like to tell you that starting tomorrow, we are going to have another membership drive, and I'm looking forward to it. Now, the staff, they have to, they all start moving faster about this time of year, and they're kind of a blur because they're going here, going there, getting things ready. For me, it's a blast. I really enjoy membership drive because for me, it's a big party, and it can be for you as well. And I'm mentioning it because I would like you to be ready to contribute starting tomorrow. And my next show, I will be asking you to contribute. But right now, I would like to ask you what you doing next couple of weeks, because maybe you've got some time. Maybe you could come down to KBOO. And I tell you, it really is fun to volunteer during the membership drive. It's kind of a milling mess here. But hey, it's catered. And it's catered with absolutely the best food from the best restaurants. And I really enjoy it. And I think you would too. So consider that, won't you? And maybe you want to write down this number, 503-231-8032, extension 213. Because if you write that down, then you'll know who to contact. That's easy enough anyway. I mean, just look at KBOO, you'll find the number. But here's the number again, 503-231-8032. And ask for Ani at extension 213 if you'd like to volunteer. And we need phone answerers, especially. And as I said, that's fun. You get to sit around. There's nothing high-tech about it. You fill out a form. We don't even use computers. We just do it the old-fashioned way, and it works. It works for KBOO Radio. Two headlines. A North Dakota judge issued a warrant Wednesday for the arrest of Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein, who is accused of spray-painting construction equipment during a protest at the Dakota Access Pipeline. Bob Thornwood, a backhoe operator, wept as he spoke to the press, saying, "My backhoe, Susie, was so beautiful. I was going to put a wax job on it." Okay, I'm making that part up. Yeah, Jill Stein, with the crowd that was blocking the bulldozer, sprayed on the blade of the bulldozer. "I approve this message," she wrote. And Ajamu Baraka also spray painted on it. Returning to the article from The Guardian from the UK, Stein was charged Wednesday in Morton County with misdemeanor counts of criminal trespassing and criminal mischief. And the same charges have been filed against her running mate, Ajamu Baraka. Stein campaign spokeswoman Melissa Figueroa could not immediately comment on whether Stein plans to turn herself in. Activists invited Stein to leave a message at the protest site near the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's reservation on Tuesday, Figueroa said, and Stein sprayed, "I approve this message," in red paint on the blade of a bulldozer. And as I was saying, it was so beautiful before. Arrest that woman! Arrest her! sometimes people don't know when they're being ridiculous. And apparently it applies to Morton County. Anyway, returning to the article, a court document shows Baraka painted the word decolonization, "How dare he," on a piece of construction equipment. Morton County Sheriff's Office spokesman Rob Keller said the warrant has been filed, and if authorities were to come across Stein, they would arrest her. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe is trying to stop construction of a section of the $3.8 billion four-state pipeline that tribal leaders say would violate sacred and culturally sensitive grounds and possibly pollute water. Before the charges were filed, Stein said in a statement that she hoped North Dakota authorities, quote, "press charges against the real vandalism taking place at Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, the bulldozing of sacred burial sites, and the unleashing of vicious attack dogs," end quote. Now, perhaps you have heard about this scene where the pipeline is being confronted, and yeah, attack dogs, blood issuing from their muzzles, have been used to attack protesters, defenders. And that has been very much on Democracy Now. And I noticed, looking at the news rolls, the Google News, for example, the places that Americans turn for news, if they turn for news at all, strangely absent from the front pages, the second pages, the third pages. You can find the information if you already know about it. In other words, if you've seen Democracy Now, or if you're getting something about that on your social media, well, you can find it. But corporate media is trying very hard right now to keep you from talking about certain things, like Jill Stein, Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson is polling twice what Jill Stein is, and his votes are being taken away from the Trump campaign. So if you hear that Stein is a spoiler with her 3%, there's some things you should ask about that. Namely, isn't Gary Johnson twice as much of a spoiler? And because he is, and he's taking from a smaller percentage from Trump. And I notice also that the mainstream media really doesn't want to cover Johnson either. Go ahead and pull up Gary Johnson on a Google News roll on the Google News site. And you will discover that on the front page, and maybe I think the second page as well, there's a total of one article dedicated to Gary Johnston. And what his platform is, well, who knows? It's not on there. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. It's 10 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here in Cascadia. An editorial by Abdel Bari Atwan, writing in Raoul.com, The New Iraq, writing from Iraq, actually. The new Iraq is no longer safe, and most seriously, it is turning into a launching pad for acts of terrorism and threatens the security and stability not only of neighboring countries, but the entire world. He writes, Iraqi politicians who supported the invasion of their country and occupation and provided cover for the invaders failed to establish democratic governance as an alternative to the system and then failed to provide security and stability for Iraqi citizens. Secondly, tolerance and social justice were not established. Thirdly, values were ignored. And more importantly, they made Iraq a bed of financial and political corruption. There was a big bombing, he writes, in the Karada district 3 days before Eid, the bloodiest since the first days of the occupation, which led to the deaths of 300 people so far and injured hundreds in another blow, fell in the city of Balad, killing 30 people and wounding 50 others, and God knows where the next bombing will be and how many victims it will take. And he writes, what Iraq needs is to stop these bombings, and the other thing that is needed is the removal of the ruling elite of Western and international forces and their supporting recognition, America. They all failed in Iraq, he writes, and their continued petulance does not help at all because they have lost the Iraqi people, or most of them. That was machine translated from the Arabic, and I may have gotten some of that wrong as I tried to clean up the sentences. Hooray for the 21st century and machine translation. Anyway, I mean, I never had a clue what was written in Arabic before. Time is 9:12. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I was talking about 9/11. I was talking about the country being essentially a cult where you are expected to believe ridiculous things. When I was a teenager, I was expected to believe that the United States was fighting for democracy in Vietnam. Fighting for oil, tin, rubber, rice, and cheap labor? No! Perish the thought. A cult is what we live in. And so I have 26 questions that deceived Americans need to ask. This is from wakeupfromyourslumber.com. And I would also say that these are well-established points that I've encountered time and again. But first, did you know that a third World Trade Center high-rise building also fell on September 11th, 2001? World Trade Center Building 7 was a 47-story steel-framed skyscraper located a full block away from the Twin Towers, and it was not even hit by any plane. Nonetheless, it fell at near free fall speed straight down into its own footprint at 5:20 p.m. that afternoon. Now, speaking for myself, the assertion, as I was saying, that this thing exploded into dust on its own from jet fuel is patently ridiculous. It violates the laws of physics. Its collapse violates the laws of physics until you acknowledge that, in fact, thermite had been packed into the elevators and into the elevator shafts, and the whole thing was a stunt. There's no way around that. You can believe in fairy tales if you like. But that's what you do as part of a cult. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Did you know that the owner of Building 7, Larry Silverstein, said, quote, "We've had such a terrible loss of life that maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it," meaning Building 7. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse. And yet, the 9/11 Commission report never mentioned a thing about Building 7, and pull is an industry term for using controlled demolition. Third, did you know that lucky Larry Silverstein was awarded $4.6 billion in insurance claims for the Twin Towers, which he had just leased 6 weeks before 9/11 from the Port Authority of New York? The Port Authority had previously declined to spend the multi-million dollars necessary to remove the asbestos that the towers were chock full of. And now the lungs of New Yorkers are chock full of. And they had declined to bring the towers up to code required by law. Fourth, did you know that in the history of architecture, fire has never caused any steel frame building to collapse? Except on 9/11, when three skyscrapers fell at near free fall speeds, despite the fact that there were scores of massive steel columns in the core of each of the twin towers. Fifth, did you know that almost every one of the World Trade Center's steel beams and girders were quickly shipped overseas before any independent investigation and melted down? This is unprecedented and contrary to federal crime scene laws, making Rudy Giuliani indictable for those federal crimes. And speaking for myself, I do recall also that a law was passed that it was illegal to get evidence from the scene. Illegal. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Sixth of the 26th items. Did you know that fighter jets routinely are scrambled? The minute any airplane loses contact with the FAA or deviates from its flight path, and the jets usually only take 20 minutes to get in the air and intercept the plane. Yeah. Well, Thomas is on the air.
Hey, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Hey, I really am resonating really strongly with your rolling out of the term cult and comparing the certain nationalistic beliefs and norms of thought as cult-like psychology. I think that's really helpful. I was thinking about, and I can't remember who coined this term, the normalization of the unthinkable. It seems like it was either Hannah Arendt or theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which were both German expatriate anti-Nazis. But the idea is, with the normalization of the unthinkable, is that, you know, and they were speaking in relation to the fact that here was Germany, a very intellectually advanced and modern country, and yet these atavistic and dehumanizing norms came into being. And how is that? And in a nutshell, basically, it's by drips and drops. You know, you plant an idea or a seed in society that just has a little bit of a connection with some kind of cultural prejudice or norm, and then slowly, steadily through time, beliefs and ideas are arrived at by a large member of the people in the society. And these beliefs, if they were proposed initially, would have been rejected. But steadily, slowly through time, the unthinkable ideas become normalized. And I think that that's entirely analogous to indeed where we are now in 2016, after we've had two consecutive war presidencies, and where we have a situation where nobody even pays attention anymore when it comes on the radio or the television that there's been a massive truck bombing and people have died civilian life in Iraq or anything that happens. People don't even feel it anymore, and never mind torture. And you were asking earlier about why aren't Bush and Cheney prosecuted? Well, you know, there again, we have this death spiral where everybody who was on those Senate intelligence committees or involved in any way back in the run-up to the Iraq War, when the plans to invade were being formulated, and also later, back initially when the news of the torture in Abu Ghraib and elsewhere came before it was publicly aware, these things were known in Senate intelligence meetings, And so according to the norms established by international law and the Nuremberg Tribunal and the Geneva and Hague Conventions, any government official, high government official, that had knowledge or not even direct complicity, but just knowledge is complicity and did not. So basically Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, all of those top Democrats would be up to their knees in complicity and guilt and subject to international sanction.
But it's disloyal to think about such things.
You can't think about it. And so now we have a situation with Obama, who, of course, right off the bat, who is very much of a follower, not leader, was brought into complicity himself the second he started signing off on illegal drone attacks. So that was a very, very clever situation. So now...
Well, I think you're making some great points there. The line's fading a bit, and I want to make some room for the next caller, so I'll leave it at that. But thank you very much for calling in. Yeah, cognitive dissonance is very useful for a cult. For example, we live in a democracy, and we have racial equality. And it's just a coincidence that 600 people have been shot by cops, but they're not death squads. Death squads exist in other countries. We hear in another country that 600 people have been shot by anyone, by any agency or group of agencies, we'd say that they have a death squad problem. They have a human rights problem. But here in the United States, it's just, gangsters. Yeah, they got what was coming to them. Right? Cognitive dissonance. I mean, deep down, we know we have a racist police state. Now, don't we? And we have death squads. And 600 are dead. More than that, I should look what the latest number is. And you can't find out from American media. You have to turn to the Guardian.co.uk, British media. You find out that way. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Ken's on the air.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
To your point, I understand there's an event in Portland about 9/11 tomorrow, I think. And I couldn't find it any place online. Can maybe you know about it, and you could refresh your radio audience about the event?
I don't, but I will see if I can find it before the broadcast is over. How about that?
Oh, that's great. And the other thing I wanted to just mention, is this program going to be archived? So I missed some of it. I'd like to...
Yes, it'll be archived under kboo.fm/presswatch.
Oh, great. Sometime today.
Yes.
My other thing is about cognitive dissonance. I know, are you familiar with a neuroscientist by the name of Lori Manuel?
Not personally.
Okay, well, she has something to say about cognitive dissonance and the inability of people to get their minds around things like events like 9/11, torture, et cetera, and so on and so forth. She was featured at the Toronto 9/11 series of videos. I think that if you're interested, you could check it out. But my other and final question is, are you familiar with a website called geoengineeringwatch.org? And if you are, what do you think about it?
I haven't pulled that up, so thanks for bringing it up, geoengineeringwatch.org.
Yeah. Well, I'll be interested in your take on it. Okay, well, thanks, Teresa.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And continuing on the list of 26 items that you should know. Seventh, did you know that in the 9 months preceding 9/11, there were 67 jet fighter scrambles of wayward airplanes and that on average 100 intercepts occur each year? Eighth, did you know that the Secret Service broke established protocols by allowing President Bush to remain in a well-published classroom photo op for at least 8 minutes after it was revealed to him that America was under attack when Andy Card informed him that the second plane had hit the second tower? Ninth, did you know that the Security Exchange Commission has never revealed the unidentified traders who made millions of dollars in profits by short-selling the stocks of American and United Airlines that were impacted by the attacks? Tenth, did you know that there were countless warnings of impending terrorist attacks from at least 11 countries prior to 9/11 and that the threat level for such an attack was blinking red, according to Director of the CIA, George Tenet? Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Eric is on the air.
Yeah, hello, Teresa.
Hi.
Hi, and thanks for running this show. I guess you're the only one at KBOO that does this. But my question is, if everybody's in a cult, or let's say two-thirds of the country's in a cult, how do you get them out of the cult? And I ask this because it sounds like most of the 9/11 truthers are crusading for justice.
Well, as I was saying, when you're in a cult of that type, that depends on the group supporting false information, then I think there has to be some critical mass within the group before the cult begins to disintegrate, and that's pretty hard to do. I do this program because I like to think that when I put out something that can be independently verified, if people care about what I say, if it's sufficiently provocative, if it sticks in people's craws, then some percentage of people, instead of just dismissing it, will look into it a little further. That's as close as I can come. So my answer is, I guess I don't know how to do that.
Okay, well, good luck. Thanks.
Thank you for calling. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Did you know that Attorney General John Ashcroft, San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown, author Salman Rushdie, and according to Newsweek, a group of high-ranking generals at the Pentagon were warned not to fly on 9/11, but never revealed who told them? Did you know that in September of 2000, a neoconservative group of Republicans known as the Project for a New American Century, or the PNAC, many of whom would become key officials in the Bush administration the next year, wrote that their proposed massive military buildup would proceed slowly, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor? Number to call, 503-231-8187. Brian's on the air.
Hi, Teresa.
Hello there.
You may or may know, excuse me, you may or may not know, I'm a retired architect, and I've watched these videos of the Twin Towers and from several angles, and if that was a controlled demolition, if ever I saw it, it was. And there's something else, and you can see the puffs of smoke because the way that these planes hit, there should have been a lateral force that would have toppled it if it was going to topple at all from kind of sideways. That's basic structural engineering. And also, did you know, I don't know if you remember, when they closed the entire U.S. airspace, there was a jet full of the Saudi royal family and their...
And plenty of bin Ladens.
Acolyte, was allowed to fly out of Bluegrass Field in Lexington, Kentucky. So that's, that's just another bit of... detritus to throw into the mix.
Yeah, that's quite a fact, isn't it? That's in Michael Moore's film Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah. Anyway, just wanted to chuck that little contribution into the mix. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Time is 9:27. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, your community radio station. 13th on the list. Did you know that at least six of the 9/11 hijackers, alleged 9/11 hijackers, were reported to be still alive, according to the BBC and UK print media reports? In the weeks following 9/11, 14th, did you know that the FBI has said that there is no evidence to link Osama bin Laden to 9/11 and that Osama was never wanted for the crime of 9/11 on its 10 most wanted fugitives list? 15th, did you know that the leading scholar of Osama bin Laden, Bruce Lawrence, stated in December 2001 that the December 2001 confession tape, which the Bush White House flaunted, was a fake? Speaking for myself, I think about the fact that it's been 15 years since that stunt. And I think about people who were 5 years old, people who were born in, 96. And maybe that's you. You've grown up your entire life, as far as any political awareness goes, it's all going to be tainted by 9/11 and by 15 years of post-9/11 fictional programming. There's one that's notorious. I've never seen it. It's called 24, I think. The funding, the wars. I was talking about how lies are essential to a cult because more and more outrageous lies mean that once you accept them, you can less and less afford to leave the cult. It's also true that when the mob decides that they want you on the inside if you associate with them, and they want to make sure of you and make sure that you're loyal, they will take you along, without your knowledge at first, to murder. And you will be forced to participate in that murder. And after that, you won't be able to change your mind and go to the cops about the mob or the gang, because you are accomplice to murder. Your life changes. You're inside. That's that. Well, that's how it works with the military. I mean, not only can you not afford to end your cognitive dissonance and say that all the murders that you participated in were pointless, but, well, you've got that guilt to deal with. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And George is on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know what it was, that's for sure. You know, 2004 or 5, that I became aware that the U.S. government might have been complicit in the 9/11 disaster. And it took me a couple months to sort of grasp it. I was so incredibly shocked at the information that I was seeking and reading here. And I mention this to other people from time to time, if they're aware of this, all this information, and they are don't have a clue. And I say, well, how did building number 7 go down? And I can't find a single person in my group of acquaintances that even is aware that building number 7 went down. I'm just astounded.
It's called controlling the narrative, and it was done masterfully, I must say. If I can say that an evil thing was done masterfully, then this certainly was. And all the talk was about the two buildings, and the third building simply was not mentioned.
Is it people are so eager to believe what they're told, or they're not curious enough to do a little investigation? The other thing I seem to notice is that there's less and less information on the internet pertaining to the disaster. And there's one thing that it sticks out of my mind, and that is there was a BBC broadcast. It was 5 o'clock on 9/11. And the person was standing in front of building number 7. Yeah, you could see building number 7 in the way background.
And saying that it had already fallen.
Saying that it had fallen. And it hadn't fallen yet. So somebody got the press release out or the information out too soon. I can't find that bit of film now on the internet. But it's just such an obvious false flag situation to me. And people just don't want to believe it. So that's
it was a false flag, and empires do that. And populations are controlled, and we don't live in a democracy. These things are hard to accept if you're on the other side of it. Hey, thanks very much for your call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Did you know that Secretary of State Colin Powell promised a white paper proving that Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda were responsible for the 9/11 attack back in 2001, but never produced it? 17th, did you know that the Bush administration resisted the formation of the 9/11 Commission for 441 days? Do you remember that if you're old enough? Or that similar investigations, such as those for Pearl Harbor, the JFK assassination, and the space shuttle disasters, all started within 1 week? Do you remember that? Do you remember how hard it was? Do you remember the Jersey girls? Four courageous 9/11 widows finally forced the 9/11 Commission into existence. They tried to put Kissinger, to head it, and they presented many questions, 70% of which were ignored. Or that under the leadership of Bush administration insider Philip Zelikow, the final report failed to address any of the evidence pointing to official complicity, and the 9/11 Commission report never said one word about WTC-7, that third building. Isn't that interesting? Mark is on the air. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Mark is on the air.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
I'd like to bring Dr. Judy Wood to your attention, and I don't know whether you're familiar with her or not.
Dr. Judy Wood.
Yeah, she has written a book about that. The book is called "Where Did the Towers Go?" And so for her, the idea that when you look at this event and you look at those pictures of those twin towers coming down, and it is just, I don't know whether you've seen very many videos of those, but
okay, I just looked that up, Dr. Judy Wood, and I think I can say that that is a red herring, and you need to stick to Newtonian physics. Dr. Judy Wood, let's see. David Icke also comes up with a UFO theory, and these are attempts to make descent look foolish. So don't fall for that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't think it was just regular explosives that brought that building down, because of the fact that you look at those videos and you see that you're familiar with the core columns. There are 24 large, very large core columns. And if you look at those videos, the building comes down, and you can see one of these core columns. It's just sitting there. And it just disappears and turns into dust.
That's nanothermite for you. That's what it does. I would say stick to Occam's razor on that. Hey, thank you very much for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. No, it's not difficult. It doesn't require energy beams. It doesn't require UFOs. It just requires ordinary nano-graded thermite. And when I say nano, I just mean that the particle size has been reduced to make the explosion faster and hotter. Nothing particularly mysterious. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Jim's on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So can we even point out that the fact that the guy who claimed responsibility for 9/11, they said it was Osama bin Laden, looked nothing like the Osama bin Laden that was in the press? You know, that first guy, he was like a really heavy-set dude with a white beard.
Yeah, I haven't forgotten. There's at least two Osama bin Laden. These are obviously fakes, yeah.
Yeah, he was heavier set guy with a white beard, and, you know, Osama bin Laden was, like, very sickly with a two-tone beard.
Well, his nose is totally different. I mean, Osama bin Laden himself had a long, thin nose. And, that's a whole nother, story. But, it's obvious. I mean, it reminded me very much at the time of 1984 and Orwell's dystopian fantasy and the... let's see, what was the name of the person everyone was supposed to hate? I can't remember in that book. It's been so long. But yeah, it's just a focus for hate. And after a while, bin Laden was gone. And I think the credible information is that he died of his kidney failure during the Tora Bora attacks. And he was gone. And so that was kind of a drag for the U.S. because they needed an enemy. So they got Fat Nose bin Laden.
Yep. It's true. Well, I just wanted to throw that out there because I think people kind of missed that point, too, that there's, like you said, there's at least two bin Ladens.
Yeah, so. I agree. And we've been had. And it's easy to get lost in these details, but I want to present a lot of details because really there's no way around it. And the most important detail of all, I would say, is the official story doesn't match with basic. I mean, this is high school physics. This is not, you know, anything arcane. Okay, thanks very much for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Did you know that no official agency, the FAA, the FBI, or the airlines has ever released a list of the 9/11 passengers, including the names of the supposed hijackers, but within hours after the attacks, the FBI unbelievably released a definitive list of the 19 so-called hijackers. Did you know that multiple air defense drills, war games, headed by Dick Cheney, who had no such role as the vice president, were planned for the morning of 9/11, carried out, and that these exercises left only a few pairs of fighter jets available to protect the entire Northeast Air Defense sector of the United States, leaving Washington and New York City vulnerable to an attack. Sheila is on the air.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to talk about the Patriot Act. We know how long it takes for Congress to get anything through to be voted on, and yet the Patriot Act, I believe, was written and ready before 9/11.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was pre-written. It wasn't even read by most of the people who voted on it.
Well, nobody ever mentioned this. I've never heard a word of how fast the Patriot Act was suddenly available to be approved.
It was such an obvious case of the shock doctrine. I mean, it was extremely shocking visually to see those buildings go down and then to know that 2,800 and change people died instantaneously. It was just a hell of a shock. And so, oh, here, sign this.
Right, but there were 1,200 pages of the damn thing.
No one read it.
And how did it suddenly get written in matter of, what was it, months after the event?
The same magic that makes jet fuel vaporize carbon steel, I guess.
They magically printed, put their minds to this thing and got it all together. And Congress never, who the hell wrote it? Who put it together that it was available to be voted on, much less not read?
Well, I would say it was the Cheney-Rumsfeld,
right,
Wolfowitz cabal, obviously, and
right,
they need to be brought to trial.
So they had it all ready to go before anything even happened on 9/11.
Good point.
Yeah, and I've never heard it mentioned by anybody since then. So that's all I have to say, Teresa. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Have you ever noticed that women callers tend to censor themselves? Women callers don't tend to call as much as male callers. Male callers go on longer. I'm saying that just to make you aware of these gender differences. There's reasons for that. And I don't mean to apply that to any one caller who has called today. I'm not on your case. No, I'm just saying that's how it works out. And isn't that interesting? Did you know that there was no visible airplane debris where Flight 93 supposedly crashed near Shanksville, Pennsylvania? Remember that? There was a movie, they had the tussle in the air, they fought and forced it into the ground. It was very dramatic, and there was only a small smoking hole in the ground, much like a bomb crater, with a pile of planted scrap metal, but there was debris from the aircraft found 8 miles away in New Baltimore, and that Shanksville Mayor Ernie Stoll said 3 different times in an interview for a 2003 German documentary that there was, quote, no airplane, end quote. 22nd, did you know that office furniture burns at low temperatures of 600 to 800 degrees Fahrenheit and that jet fuel kerosene, an ordinary hydrocarbon, has a maximum burning temperature of 1,200 Fahrenheit? Physics, we're talking here. But that steel doesn't start melting until temperatures reach 2,750 Fahrenheit, just a little bit short by 1,500 degrees. And remember, that's the melting point, not the outrageous vaporization point. But nanothermite takes care of that pretty neatly. Poof. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Did you know that tests have shown that cell phone calls back in 2001 could not have been made at altitudes over 8,000 feet for any meaningful duration, and that more significantly, United Airlines Flight 93 was proven to be 35 to 40,000 feet when calls were said to have been made? 2001 couldn't be done. Again, physics. And Elliot is on the air.
Well, I'm an actual Brooklyn resident during the attack, and conversations like this make me very sad for the viability of the left, because WNYC went off the air after my alarm came on, and as soon as I figured out that there was something very bad going on at the World Trade Center, I jumped on my bike, went 20 blocks to get a gunsight view from Coney Island Avenue of the towers. By the time I got there, both towers had completely fallen. The plume was coming over my house. 2 days later, my family doctor told me that he and hundreds of other doctors had, you know, rushed to go to the perimeter hospitals, you know, expecting to have to, you know, treat severely wounded. And there was no one to treat because of the overwhelming, you know, devastation of the closest thing to the heat and blast of a nuclear bomb in the continental United States, right next to, within a like second walk of Building 7.
That's very dramatic, and I'm sorry that it happened to you, Elliot.
Let me just finish, and then you talk.
No, I'll respond in this manner. I'm very sorry that it happened to you, Elliot.
You are implying that the rescuers should have, instead of trying to devote most of their resources to trying to save hundreds of severely injured people in the pile, should instead have done a massive salvage effort on a damaged Building 7. And just
no, I'm not asserting that at all, actually. You're asserting that, and that's what you call a straw man argument.
No, it's what's called lunacy and dysfunction on the left.
No, you should look it up. It's called a straw man argument. When you make an assertion that someone has said something and then you counter that assertion, it's very easy to do, and it's much easier than actually countering what has actually been said. And Elliot, have you gone? Well, I guess you have. Elliot, I'll counter you every time on that. It doesn't work with me. I know straw man arguments. I've been on the air for 30 years. 24th. Did you know that bombs went off in the North Tower in the sub-basement a few seconds before the first plane hit? According to Willie Rodriguez, janitor who became known as the last man out, who was awarded a medal by President Bush for his bravery in rescuing dozens of people from the North Tower before it collapsed. Rodriguez testified that he and fellow workers, and actually departing from the text, many people have said this, heard multiple explosions coming from various locations in the floors above them. 25th, did you know that the alleged hijacker Hani Hunjur was known as an incompetent pilot to his trainers, and yet he supposedly pulled off an unprecedented 270-degree turn at 500 miles per hour, diving 7,000 feet in less than 3 minutes? And speaking for myself again, let's talk about physics. What does that do to your brain? When you do that sort of maneuver in a jet aircraft, you have a special helmet which literally tightens around your neck to keep the blood flow from draining out of your head, because you will pass out. It's just physics. You can't apply that sort of G-force and not force the blood out of your brain. You can't remain conscious. Returning to the text, and then supposedly he crashed Flight 77 into the least populated, most reinforced section of the Pentagon 26. Did you know the mainstream media in the U.S. is owned and controlled by 5 or 6 major corporate conglomerates, and that there has been very limited and sporadic coverage of alternative news about 9/11? Anytime the issue is 9/11 is raised, the MSM, the mainstream media, accuses the questioner of being a conspiracy theorist or even a traitor. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier about living in a cult. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Mary's on the air.
Hi, Teresa. Someone had asked about an upcoming rally, and actually there are several. If you go to Peace and Justice Works or pjw.info, you'll get all of the information, and there's one on September 9th at 5 p.m., 5 to 6, at Broadway and Yamhill, and it's called Casualties of Endless War. And then there's another one coming up on the 23rd, same time, same place, and another on October 7th, and those are 2 years of U.S. war on Syria, the Afghan invasion 15 years later, and so on. The one on Friday is titled Lives, Compassion, the Economy, Privacy, and the Environment, and so on. I thought you might want to know that.
Thank you very much.
Yes, great hour. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in. 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And I was asked to look up Geoengineering Watch, so I've done that. I'm looking at it. This is my first encounter with it. Let's see. Geoengineering affects you, they write, your environment and your loved ones. Live presentations on the subject of climate engineering. I don't have the time to check all that out right now. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Blake is on the air.
Yeah, hey, Teresa, thanks for taking the call. Hey, this is something I've been wondering about for many years, why the left progressives fail to address this issue. And I'm talking about a lot of people at KBOO, Amy Goodman, you can go down the list, Noam Chomsky. You know, it seems like conservatives are more capable of addressing, you know, all these obvious contradictions with the official story. I haven't been able to figure out why liberals can't look at these.
Well, Chomsky,
these facts. I mean, it's bizarre to me.
It's been years since I've read Chomsky's writings on this, but if I understood what he was implying at the time, he was saying that he didn't want to go there. He didn't want to get into the details of whether or not the destruction was a false flag attack. He wanted to look at what it actually did and how it was used, and he decided to focus that way. That was his tactic, and he, as you know, is one of the world's premier intellectuals, and he understands how the U.S. public is manipulated, and here's where I will speculate. It may be that he decided that it was not a battle he could win, that if he went into that detail, he would be called out, he would be demonized, and he had his tactics to apply to it, which was to call Americans on what they were actually doing and raise that moral flag that there was no justification for attacking for imperialism based on 9/11. So that's the tack he decided to take. And so my opinion is it is a tactic. Now, Amy Goodman, I don't know where she's coming from. I think you have to remember that it was a hell of a shock. 2,800 people did die, many of them in downtown New York. I think Amy Goodman is a genius. She's astonishing. She's a help to the left every single day. She's sincere. And this is this is something I would love to talk about with her. She has not responded to me when I've talked to her about it.
Hey, no, I agree. It was a total shock. Everybody was in shock. But at some point, you get back on your feet and you can start, analyzing, the issue. And in terms of Chomsky, I mean, he's done a lot of good work. And, he's not afraid to, have the wind blowing in his face. But boy, the one interview that I saw with him, he basically, when someone brought this up, he basically said, well, even if they, the Bush administration and the invisible government, whatever you want to call it, did actually pull this off, his response was, who cares?
So yeah, okay.
To me, that's just, well, I don't even know what to say.
That is at least comprehensible to me. I mean, he doesn't care because he wants to take this other tactic. And I would say that has to do with his gestalt of what actually, earlier in the broadcast, someone was saying, what can you do to change a cult-like allegiance? Well, I don't know, but I think maybe Noam Chomsky has a pretty pretty comprehensive idea of what is possible and what is not at this point in history.
Yeah.
So I don't support his approach, but I think I can guess where he's going.
I totally agree. I know I've been on for a few minutes, but, the last thing I'd say is, unfortunately, they got away with this one. The only upside is I think enough people are aware, I'm hoping enough people are aware, that when, these sorts of things occur, and, they don't occur frequently, they, large scale events, it seems like they've more focused on smaller scale things, that people are more cognizant of what's actually going on, that they're being hoodwinked. But I don't know, people still believe the government. I don't know why it is, but it's quite strange.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to keep trying to throw a crack in it. And for me, I have great confidence because having looked at it all these years, I can just come out and say F equals MA doesn't change. It's not a matter of belief. It's just a matter of fact. I mean, Newton was right. Force equals mass times acceleration. The official explanation is impossible.
You go down the list. It's so obvious. There's so many things. There's no way around it. So you're absolutely correct. And again, thank you for continuing to bring this up.
Thanks for calling.
A lot of young people, it was 15 years ago. A lot of people that are going to be entering the military in the next couple of years weren't even born when that occurred.
And it's an article of faith, and it feels absolutely traitorous to talk to someone in the military about this sort of thing because they really don't want to hear it, and they're furious with you for taking the attitude that it was false flag. But, sorry, it was false flag physics. Thanks for calling. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I was talking earlier about the Guardian's count of how many people have been killed by police in the United States. And the Guardian does this because it is not done by U.S. corporate-owned newspapers and news agencies. Well, the number today on theguardian.com/US News Series Counted US Police Killings is 749. 749 police killings. And I want to say, of course, a great number of these killings, you wouldn't expect the cop to act otherwise. And a great number, possibly a greater number, absolutely uncalled for, done on the basis of, well, all the things that it's done on the basis of, and certainly race figures hugely. And we're kidding ourselves if we think that race hatred doesn't kill in this country. The number 749, written in blood, on the escutcheon of the United States. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And Michael is on the air.
Hi, Teresa. Good morning. I just wanted to follow up on something an earlier caller mentioned about the Patriot Act, and you were discussing the shock doctrine.
Right.
So obviously the events of September 11th were shocking to many people, but I think it's worth remembering that there was an additional terrorist attack exactly 1 week later, starting on September 18th.
The anthrax.
Exactly. And I think the fact that congressional leadership received these bioweapons that turned out then to have been actually from the U.S. government bioweapons lab at Fort Detrick, Maryland.
Thank you for bringing that up. That is absolutely lost. These were static weaponized, high-tech anthrax samples. They only could have come after careful biologic analysis and much diversion from the FBI. They only could have come from Fort Detrick, and they did come from Fort Detrick.
And that was a big part of the call to pass the Patriot Act without the proper sort of action, which happened not even months, as the earlier caller suggested, but just weeks after 9/11. It was passed by the end of October.
And the whole investigation amounted to look over there.
Right. Yeah, they tried to pin it on Stephen Hatfill at first, and that's a sort of an Oregon connection, and that obviously didn't pan out. And then it was eventually revealed that this must have come, you know, from U.S. government employees.
Yep. Yep, you got that right.
I just wanted to sort of refresh our memory on that subject, because it is also deeply concerning that we are legislating by fear in this manner, and it doesn't really seem to stick in people's minds as much as the iconic image of the smoking Twin Towers. If there's any Wikipedians out there, I would note that the Patriot Act Wikipedia article doesn't even mention the anthrax attacks, and it probably ought to.
Oh, you're certainly right about that. Yeah,
well,
worth reading Naomi Klein, The Shock Doctrine.
Absolutely. Yeah, great book.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Francis is on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Short-term profits for corporations, that right now the best profit is actually just from killing people. So they're going to keep perpetrating conflict wherever, and the corporation is not a human being. That's why it can do these things, but it has no conscience. But what I wanted to talk to you about was the events tomorrow. Did someone mention that at 2 o'clock there's a rally in support of the prisoners who are striking all over the country against their slave labor?
And where is that going to be?
That's at Chapman Square tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Chapman Square.
And then, yeah. And then there's, do you know about the one at noon for Standing Rock?
Tell me all about it.
It's at noon. I think that's at Pioneer Square. And I believe it's at noon. And it's in support of everyone at Standing Rock.
Well, thank you very much for that call.
All right, you guys take care.
You've been listening to Press Watch. It's 9:57 in the morning here in Cascadia. One last article, comments insisting that WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange faces no threat should he be extradited to Sweden are ridiculous. That's according to Sarah Harrison, a WikiLeaks editor and Assange's advisor, speaking to Russia Today following a press conference by Swedish prosecutors on Wednesday. According to Harrison, who was present at the hearing, the prosecutors wanted just to restate their position on the Assange case once again at the head of a documentary that looks into the case and prosecutors' handling of it. She added the documentary will be aired by a Swedish SVT channel later Wednesday. And, of course, Assange is still holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy. Chelsea Manning is still being held incommunicado following her suicide attempt, and it would appear that circumstances will militate and I use that word advisedly, towards her further despair. And you've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, broadcasting at 90.7 FM on our Eiffel-like tower on the West Hills, other frequencies elsewhere in Cascadia. And we're going out to you via KBOO.FM. Remember to call in 503-231-8032, extension 213, if you would like to volunteer during the membership drive starting tomorrow. We're going out to you via KBOO.FM. You will find our articles on archive there, our programs on archive there. And in that manner, we go out to all the ships at sea.
And good morning. KBOO Portland is your community radio station. Thursday morning continues, and in 15 minutes at 10:15, join us for Flashpoints. On today's show, Green Party vice presidential candidate Ajamu Baraka talks about the warrants issued for his arrest and the arrest of presidential candidate Jill Stein in North Dakota. Also, Nora Barrows Friedman and the Electronic Intifada. At 11 today on Between the Covers, the guest is writer Hope Jahren, who talks about her memoir of her life in science called Lab Girl. And then at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, the guest is Oregon artist Maximilian Ullarte. And he will be talking about his new graphic novel, The White Donkey. That's all coming up right after Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Chris Andre is next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 2016 Festival of Nations. The Festival of Nations is an annual event hosted by the Division Midway Alliance and is a celebration of cultural diversity. Saturday, September 17th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Division Center on the corner of Southeast 122nd Avenue and Division. There will be diverse culinary cuisines provided by a variety of vendors, along with performances by local musicians and dancers, such as Cuba de Son and African showboys, as well as other activities like disc golf, putting, and a large-scale Thomas the Train. That's the Festival of Nations on Saturday, September 17th at the Division Center